Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Now, I'm telling y'all, like, right now, it's feeling like nightly news for me. We have been very consistent going live, representing for the people in New York City and giving y'all that true, true journalism that's missing. You know, yesterday we conducted a great interview with John. He's a retired lieutenant for NYPD. You know, and we had a great conversation. You know, we didn't agree on some things we did agree on. But you know what it's about when you're interviewing someone? It's about hearing the next person, right? And just listening to what they have to say. You don't have to agree to everything. It's about listening. And that's what I planned on doing here on Progressive Action TV when I have guests. I want to listen to what they have to say. That's how we're going to be doing it. Now, as you can see right now, the phone lines are open. The phone 999-3714. Also, if you're watching live or if you're watching on the playback, make sure to hit that like button. Hit the like button no matter on which platform that you're watching us from, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And what I would like to say is shout out to everyone that's watching us on all the platforms, and in particular YouTube. For years, I have not spent enough time on YouTube trying to cultivate the platform. Last year, I said, you know what, I want to spend more time cultivating YouTube. And right now, our YouTube platform is number one. And it wouldn't be number one without you guys. And what I would say is that the message that we are bringing right here on Progressive Action is resonating with the people in New York City, resonating with the transit workers, and we have a voice. You have a platform that you could call into and have your voice heard. The first of its kind, specifically for transit workers, and definitely a first of its kind for the people of New York City that's worrying about safety, that's worrying about labor, unions, healthcare, things of that nature. We are here, baby. This is our platform, and I'm glad that you guys are listening. Thousands of views a week. It wasn't like that some months back, so I'm very grateful for you guys. Continue to listen to us. Continue to spread the word. So let me get into the first order of business today. Once again, we're going to promote my brother Champ from formerly of the My Expert Opinion show with Mav Hoffa. He is having an event called The Power of She, which is going to be this Saturday, March 30th from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Box Factory. That's 1519 Decatur Street, Ridgewood, New York. Some of the guests he has is EK the Mogul, Mandy B, Cassidy Cox, Casey Empire, Brooke Lynn, China, DJ Nyla, Tina Rivera, and there's an honorable mention for Angela Yee and Jess Hilarious. So make sure to go to my brother Champ MEO, that's his handle on Twitter. Click the link in his bio, get your ticket, and support the power of she. Just in case if y'all forgot, it is Women's History Month, and that's one of the reasons why he's doing it. Salute to him. The next thing I want to promote is something that we are throwing. We are not safe riding the MTA. This is an assault and safety rally. This will be happening May 1st, 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. This is for strap hangers. This is for workers. This is for people in the community. This is for clergy. This is for anyone who cares about safety in New York City. Anyone who cares about safety in New York City. What I need for you guys to do is that in the description of this video, you will see the link to RSVP. Just let us know you're coming. That's all we need to know. People don't like hitting that RSVP button, but just let us know that you're coming. simple as that. Now, let's get into some news. I don't plan on a very long show today unless people want to call in and talk and ask questions. You know I'm an open book. I want to touch on some things that I breezed past through yesterday. I think it should be amplified more. And the first thing is the National Guard in the subway, right? We cannot trust these politicians on their word, right? Because they will do almost anything to get your vote. And that's include lie to you, gaslight you, create smoke screens, and things of that nature. And what Governor Kathy Hochul decided to do with the National Guard was a straight smoke screen. It was a straight smoke screen. Now, everybody was saying that, oh, you know, we're happy that the National Guard is in the subways. And you know, then people started questioning, well, why is the National Guard only at Grand Central and all the prominent stations and things of that nature? And people couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. You even have some other factions out there trying to take credit, claiming that the governor seen what they was doing and put National Guards down there. I mean, it's insane. But I just want to bring this piece of information to you guys. So back on March 7th, alert to avoid large gatherings over the next 48 hours, right? Now, this came from the U.S. Embassy and consulates, right, in Russia, right? So this came from U.S. intelligence in Russia. The location, you know, the embassy is monitoring reports that extremists have imminent plans to target large gatherings in Moscow to include concerts. The U.S. citizens should be advised to avoid large gatherings over the next 48 hours. Now, if you look at the date, once again, this came from the U.S. consulate in Moscow, Russia, and it says March 7th, 2024. Coincidentally, Hochul deploys National Guard troops to New York City subway amid rising crime numbers. And if you look at the date outlined in red, also March 7th, 2024. Now, what I say to that is whenever there's a threat abroad, sometimes it also counts as a threat right here in the United States. So you will see the National Guard at prominent locations in prominent cities just to give backup, just to give deterrence to any terrorist group out there to say, hey, you know, if you try something, it's going to be going down, right? It's going down without a doubt. It's going down. And that's what happened here. It had nothing to do with them, the politicians caring about crime in the subways. It has nothing to do with the governor seeing people talk about it on social media. It had everything to do with the threat in Russia. And they do this. This is on the regular. This is what they do, without a doubt, right? So let's not be confused. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And let's not think that the work that we're doing is I don't want to touch on that. I mean, just people is out of control. Did I tell y'all that the phone lines is open, calling live, 563-999-3714, if y'all want to call and chat? I found something very interesting about congestion pricing, because the MTA right now, they're starting to slow roll all the congestion pricing stuff out about the what the exemptions may be. They're starting to be a little bit more clear on how people are going to be told. And this piece of information that I have received is good, right? It may not be good for transit workers and people who work within the congestion zone, because there's no way that you're going to be able to avoid that toll. But I would say to the people who, hold on one second, what I would say to the people who are traveling maybe through Jersey and they got to go through or go around the FDR or the West Side Highway to get to Brooklyn or get to the other boroughs, you will not be charged. I think that is some great news, right? I mean, that's not it right there. And this was in, I believe this was in the Daily News, and they asked the question, What if I'm driving through the zone to get somewhere else, right? Now it says the West Side Highway, the FDR Drive, and the Battery Park Underpass, the tunnel under the Battery that links FDR Drive to the West Side Highway, are all deemed to be outside the congestion crisis zone. A driver who rounds the horn of Manhattan on the highways from the Upper West to the Upper East Sides will not be charged a congestion toll. If you enter Manhattan at the Battery, Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, and drive directly up to the Upper East or Upper West Sides north of 60th Street without leaving the highways, you also would not be charged. The same goes for the Brooklyn Bridge. So as long as the driver sticks to the off-ramp leading directly to the FDR Drive, MTA officials tell news that the camera system will make sure that vehicles making such trips are not charged. So that clears up some of the questions I may have had, because I was under the assumption if you're going to Manhattan, period, from the Brooklyn, but if you're going up to Harlem, you're going anywhere above 60th Street, you would not be charged. Now, what I see happening in the future, I see two things happening in the future, right, when it comes to the congestion pricing. You have, I believe that businesses that is in the congestion zone, I think that they're going to take their businesses outside the congestion zone sooner than later. And I believe that if the city or the state sees that happening, they're going to expand the congestion zone probably to maybe 110th Street above Central Park, or maybe to Harlem, 125th Street. I don't see them not expanding it, right? Because one thing will lead to another. They're going to say, well, the congestion price and money is not enough money and this and that, and that's what's going to happen, and it's going to be a whole entire debacle when it comes to that. Now, the next piece of information, this is for transit workers, and this is for bus drivers to be exact. I think you guys need to pay attention to this. And this was retweeted by the vice president of MapStar, which is Manhattan and the Bronx of buses. He said the MTA reveals plan to put 100 live feed cameras on MTA New York City Transit buses to get crime under control. Local 100 members are required to be protected under the workplace violence and protection law. Will this help? Hopefully. I mean, the union administration got to be crazy to think that any camera system is going to be the primary reason it's put there to stop or deter crime, right? Any live feed on the buses, right, is going to punish the bus operator more than anyone, more than convicting people for crime. What's going to happen is that bus operators are going to be convicted, basically, because that's how I feel when you go down the Tube Broadway or you go to your step one or your step two like you're a criminal. They are going to be held accountable for every little thing that they do. This is a fact, right? And for the union to even ask that question or even present it as if it's going to deter crime, right? Now, there has to be questions added on to this because, yeah, you can have live feed on buses. Is it going to be audio? Because it seemed like they pushing this as a NYPD initiative and not an MTA management initiative. I guarantee you management will have access to these cameras. It will be there to monitor bus operators more than it would be to monitor crime on the subways. Because who's going to be sitting there watching 100? Let's think about this, because this makes absolutely no sense. Who is going to be sitting there? They said 100. Let me put it back on the screen. 100 live feed cameras, right? Who could watch 100 cameras at the same time to specifically look out for crimes that's happening, specifically without audio, right? Normally, before something pop off, there's some type of verbal argument or verbal altercation most of the time before something pop off, right? Who's going to be sitting there monitoring 100 cameras? Who's going to be sitting there monitoring that, right? And not only that, this is only the pilot. There's thousands of buses on the road. When they decide to expand this pilot, because what they're going to say is that, hey, you know, it works. You know, people know that the live feed cameras is on the bus, so they're not doing this, they're not doing that. You know, it's good. I think that we need to expand it. And next thing you know, the whole fleet of buses are going to have these live feed cameras. And once again, the people who's going to be paying the piper for it is going to be the bus operators. Let's make no mistake about it. I don't understand how the union administration is not forward thinking. They're not forward thinking about any of this stuff, right? And you want to know what? That's one thing going to college has taught me or instilled in me, is critical thinking, right? There's no critical thought going into the decisions that our union administration is making. There's no critical thought when it comes to our contracts. Why would the union administration get in bed with management regarding gain sharing and employee availability? What it creates is an environment of the union not caring about workers getting their comp fixed, about the MTA using the workers' comp system to force members back to work prematurely, all because they hold in members' checks. They will support management on quotas where a certain amount of members could take off during the day. Like, when you're in bed with management regarding these things, it's detrimental to the membership, right? But it also shows that there is absolutely no critical thought when it comes to the local 100 administration. There's no way possible that you should want to be in bed with management regarding employee availability at all under any circumstance. It will not benefit the members. Why is the union supporting these live feed cameras on buses when they know how heavy-handed the MTA management is when it comes to discipline? Is beyond me. I don't get it. Right now, amidst all of these, you know, NYPD, oh, we're adding 800 cops by the turnstile. We're surging 1,000 cops a week into the subways. We got chiefs on the train. Guess what happened? And this is today alone. The subways was very violent today, very violent. And it's out of control. It's out of control. And nothing that they are doing is deterring the crime, right? You could blame the DAs. You could blame the judges, right? It's very possible we may have a recidivist problem, right, in New York City, right? But at the least, the police officer's job is to deter crime, right? That should be the police officer's job, to deter crime, to stop crime from happening in the first place. A police presence does that more times than not, right? And it goes back to me saying that the police are not properly deployed throughout the transit system. There is a way that they can be properly deployed through the transit system to help reduce the crime. But after this whole entire NYPD PR run, like I said, with the chiefs on the subways, the 800 cops by the turnstiles is starting today, the 1,000 cops surge into the system, how are people committing crimes and getting away with all these police in the system? But I want to play this video for you guys. I believe it's from Fox 5 News. And let's see what they're talking about.
A man was killed in East Harlem after being shoved in front of a subway train.
The tragedy coming after a violent day underground as the NYPD prepares to send more officers into stations to combat fare evasion. Let's get right to today's Briella Tomasetti. She's live in East Harlem with the details. Briella.
Yeah, Tajani and Dan, good morning to both of you. It is every subway rider's worst fear that is becoming the victim of an unprovoked attack. That's exactly what happened here at the station last night. While the station was packed with commuters, and families. Police have not released the name of the victim, but they have apprehended the person who did it. It was a deadly day for New York City Transit. A 24-year-old man from the Bronx is being charged with murder for allegedly pushing someone onto the tracks in East Harlem into the path of an oncoming train during the evening rush hour.
But it's just getting dangerous. You know, and it's scary because I take the train at night, and I'm afraid. I'm being honest. I'm really afraid.
According to police, it happened at around 7 o'clock last night at the East 125th Street and Lexington Avenue station. Investigators say that 24-year-old suspect Carlton McPherson suddenly shoved a man onto the tracks as a 4 train was approaching the platform. The conductor was unable to stop the train in time, and that person was run over and killed. McPherson was taken into custody and subsequently charged with murder. He has 4 prior arrests, 2 for burglary, 1 for assault, and another for fare beating.
It's definitely sad, but it's never safe. They smoke on the train. There's constantly people on the train fighting.
Earlier in the day, the NYPD reported 3 consecutive stabbings at subway stations. Yesterday morning, police say a commuter was stabbed in the back at the Kosciuszko station in Brooklyn. Hours later, a woman was stabbed in the back at the Franklin Avenue station in Bed-Stuy. And after that, a man was stabbed on the Upper West Side at 96th Street and Broadway by a stranger who allegedly stole his and ran off.
We're going to be looking for weapons.
All the violence comes shortly after Governor Hochul deployed the National Guard to assist police with bag checks. And as the NYPD surges hundreds of officers into the transit system to focus on fare beating.
800 cops being surged into this system over the next 5 days at strategic locations based on crime, MTA statistics, and community complaints.
Both uniformed and plainclothes officers will carry out this enforcement. Officials declined, though, to say exactly which stations the operation will target, but noted it won't be a one-week deal. This strategy is something the department plans to use time and time again as needed. For now, though, World 5 here in East Harlem. Dan, it's Shawnee. Back to you.
Plenty of problems, plenty of solutions. Okay, thank you very much, Briella.
Now, one thing we can say for sure is that those police officers were not at the stations where the 2 people got stabbed at. That's a fact. They wasn't there, right? Now, ironically, the station where the person got pushed in front of the train, right? Ironically, that was the station, I want to show you guys, where you see those yellow gates? Those yellow gates are designed to stop or allegedly designed to stop that same exact thing, right? But this goes back to me telling you guys, this is a smokescreen. This is something like, who think about these ideas? You know what? We're gonna set up a whole bunch of checkers. It looked like checkerboards. We're gonna set up a whole bunch of checkerboards on the platform, and it's going to stop people from getting pushed into the train. That's literally, or literally, like they say, what they were thinking. Now, who was the genius that came up with that, and who was the genius that signed off on it to say, that's a great idea? I would like to know who that was, because it makes absolutely no sense. No sense whatsoever. And they are doing these things to gaslight us. They are doing these things to make us feel safe. And like I said, I understand the business. I really do. I understand the business. The MTA management want to get people back on the trains. They want to increase service. That's what they want to do. Right? But the thing is that don't lie to us in the process. Don't gaslight us in the process. Tell us the truth. And us as citizens, as riders in the MTA, we have a responsibility also. Listen, there's no reason to stand so close to the platform edge. I get it. I get the urge, right? The urge. I don't know what you're thinking, but I mean, I've done it. I'm not acting like I haven't done it. But what is standing on the platform edge going to do? It's not going to make the train come faster. right? The MCA, they got countdown clocks on the platform where you can actually know when a train is coming. You have apps on your phone. There's no real reason to stand on the edge of the platform. I don't know if seeing the lights in the tunnel satisfy you or give you a sense of relief. I don't know. But we have a responsibility also to not put ourselves in danger, because it's known that people are getting pushed onto the tracks, and you do not want to be that person to get pushed onto the tracks. Let me get to a caller real quick. Caller 9079-9079. You now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's going on, brother? It's Brother Nick from A Division. Yeah, I'm happy that you mentioned about those useless gates. Just Sunday, they put gates at Fifth Avenue on the 7 line. They did it just Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, the spacing on those gates are horrible. Someone jumped in front of the train today. So it hasn't even been 3 days, and someone jumped in front of the 7 train today. And it was a fatality. Also, and I know you have, we were talking about, you know, the safety, and we're deploying more cops into the subway. Just Google police officer punched in face. This morning, I don't know what line it was.
I'm playing that next.
24-year-old punched her right in the face. So what, like, but we're safe. I don't understand how they're screaming the subway safe. And I know this morning all over the news, they kept saying, oh, well, crime is 15% down compared to last month this year. And it's like, I don't know where you're getting these numbers from, but I've never seen anything like this. Like, year after year after year, it's getting worse. And then now, you know, unfortunately, with the influx of the migrants, and they're sleeping on the trains with us all night, it's wild out here. Like, there's nothing safe about this subway right now.
And, no matter what they say about the stats does not reflect how you feel in the subway right now.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I honestly would love to know, you know, I would love to go to their comp stat and see exactly where they're getting this data from, because I've never seen anything like this. Every year it is worse and worse and worse. This is the worst I've ever seen it. And now, you know, with the migrants and the language barrier, it's really rough now. It's really, really rough. And everybody who's down there know. And then all we talk about is people, you know, I know you were just talking about people standing on the edge of the platform waiting for the train to come. I don't know if it's calming to them or whatever. But if you know, in the early morning hours when you're leaving for work, you'll see people standing in the middle of the street doing the same thing waiting for the bus. Like, the bus is not going to come any faster. Get out of the street. But, I don't know. Like, this is a strange time we're living in, and MTA has to, you know, MTA and our union have to do something. And I know I constantly talk about that that gain sharing, the deal they have with the union. You're 110% right. The union will not have our interests because they want the money. They want the money so they could give it to these politicians so they could do more of nothing for us.
And I agree.
Yeah. So that you know, that's pretty much, you know, my take on it. I don't know. I think at this point, the members of the union, we're gonna have to figure out something, and this is a great platform to be a catalyst for it, for us to band together to show the union and MTA that we are no longer taking this, but we need solidarity. There can't be some people. Everybody has to be on the same page.
I agree. I couldn't have said it any better. And it's good to know that members, you know, outside of my immediate circle is thinking just like we are. So, you know, we just got to keep spreading the word and let the members know that we do have a home. We do have a voice. And we do have someone that's not a union official that has our best interests. And we just got to support each other.
Yeah, well, you have my support 140%. Because it's rough out here. But
how you
I'm
get
140?
How you come up? I never heard 140. How you get
that? I just like to do numbers. Anything above 100, when I'm all the way with it. So, anything. But yeah, man. All right, man. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right, later.
All right. I love when members call in and speak their piece. Let me get to the phone lines are pretty lit tonight. Let me get to the next caller real quick.
Good evening, Tramel. This is Charlton D'Souza. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing, sir?
Good. So, Tramel, I just wanted to let all the members know we met with Chief Kemper today with the NYPD. We met them at Manhattan North, and Chief Kemper brought all of his deputies to the meeting. Evelyn Byers was at the meeting. It was me and another transit worker. So basically, we spoke about what's going on in the subway system, and I'm going to tell all of you something that Chief Kemper told us today. And this is what Chief Kemper said to me, to all of us. He said to, you know, you guys need to contact your elected officials and tell them to change the laws, because right now, what transit is doing is they're rearresting the same individuals over and over again. And a police officer was assaulted earlier today, as you all know, punched in the face. But yesterday, when the man was pushed at 125th Street, Chief Kemper told me that there were six police officers right there when it happened. There were two officers on the platform. So, you know, Chief Kemper said that, you know, they're doing the best that they can, but he did take a lot of the suggestions we made. Chief Kemper told us he is going to be meeting with transit employees, and they're going to be visiting the swing rooms, and they're going to be meeting transit workers in small groups, talk about concerns and stuff. As far as the conditions about EDPs using drugs in the subway system, we gave them a list of locations. They're going to be going there. They're going to be working on that. And we also have a line of communication with NYPD Transit. I was able to get a lot of their contact information. We exchanged business cards, and we're going to be doing some events coming up. But what Chief Kemper today said is basically they're just locking up people and they're being released. And it's issues with the district attorneys, issues with the discovery laws, which is what you touched on, Tramel, as well. So, you know, this is what's happening. And so, guys, I hate to tell you this, it's going to get a whole lot worse. So, you know, I think May 1st, it's very important to come out to the rally. Also, the rally on April 4th, come out on that. And also, we're going to be holding rallies outside elected officials' offices. So I would encourage you guys to come out on that, because we have to hold these elected officials accountable. How is it that someone, and I found out today, over 101 police officers were assaulted last year in transit. This year, the number was, I think he gave me 30 transit officers so far.
See, with Chief Kemper, see, everybody, like I said, that meme, if y'all see that meme out there with the Spider-Mans and all the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other, that's how I look at NYPD, that's how I look at the MTA, that's how I look at the union, that's how I look at these politicians, right? Nobody want to take accountability. Now, Chief Kemper to say, well, you know, pass the buck and say, you know, go speak to your politicians. Why do I got to speak to my politicians about NYPD officers hiding out in employee break rooms? Why do I got to speak to my politicians about it?
So we did address that, Tramel. He said that he is going to look into that. He's very concerned about that. Oh, we told him about things going on at Jamaica Center. He's going to look into all of that. But what Chief Kemper told us is that NYPD makes the arrest, right, and they send them to court. What happens when they get to court is out of the NYPD's hands. And they are, you know, they have extra detectives working cases, but a lot of these district attorneys are not prosecuting. And these are repeat criminal offenders. Like, these are the worst of the worst.
Bro, don't get caught up in that narrative. It's a bullshit narrative, right?
No, no, I'm telling you what Chief Kemper said to me. I'm not getting caught up in the narrative. I'm just saying what he said to me.
I hear you, but a police, whether they locking up recidivists or they locking up people who's not recidivists, right? If people are breaking the law, the police officer's job is to lock them up, whether they recidivists or not. Like, I don't understand. No,
they are arresting. I don't understand. People. They're making a lot of arrests, but the district attorneys are not holding them. You know, they're releasing them. That's the problem. And, you know, it's like catch and release, catch and release. And based on the demeanor in that meeting, I could really tell that the shit has hit the fan. And we're at the bottom now. We're really at, it's really, really an all-out crisis now. And I'm telling all New Yorkers now that we really got to get organized and come together. I will give Chief Kemper credit for one thing. A lot of us, I know I criticized him openly, but one thing I will say, I wish you were there, Tramiel, because it would have been really nice. I think you would have loved this meeting, Tramiel. But everyone that was in that room, they spent an hour and 30 minutes with us. I'll give them that. And they wrote down our concerns, you know, as we were saying them. So I thought that we established a line of communication. We spoke. Am I happy with the way the meeting went? Probably not. I feel like, you know, we didn't really get ahead. But now at least what has been confirmed to me is that the NYPD is just rearresting and rearresting and rearresting. But we also spoke about the mental health crisis in that. And, you know, they seem to get a little touchy when we mentioned that issue. You know, I spoke to them about the SOS teams and things like that. And, you know, they told me that we have to speak to the mayor's office on that. We have a very long way to go. But I was just happy that we had this meeting and that there were two transit workers there and that they were able to listen to the concerns. And I think what I conveyed, all three of us conveyed, is that the union, they cannot listen to the union and the union president because, you know, that union, they don't really are out there like the workers are. And I told Chief Temple, you've got to get in the system overnight, talk to all the different toilet transit workers, get to see what's really going on down there. So one thing that was agreed to at today's meeting is that I'm going to be communicating with the police department on a daily basis. We're going to be going down there, observing subway stations, where their conditions, and if the police officers don't fix the condition while they're there, I've been authorized and told to take it directly to Chief Kemper, and that Chief Kemper is going to work to rectify issues that they can fix within their control.
Maybe I'll try to get Chief Kemper on the show so he could run that recidivist line by me. And we don't care about if you rearresting. There is a deployment issue in New York City Transit. Police officers are on their phones when they acting like they are on their job phones. There's issues down there, and it's not being addressed. They are not being accountable. NYPD throughout history has had a problem being accountable. Right? They love to pass the blame, and that's what it is. And we tired of that. We don't want to hear that. So it's probably a good thing that I was not in that meeting because I don't see how I would have been able to sit through those lies or those gaslighting answers to just point and not taking accountability. So probably a good thing that I wasn't there. But I would love to interview Chief Kemper on the show so the people could see it. See, that's the thing. It's easy for them to have these conversations behind closed doors with a small group of people, but they need to be on the record. They need to be on these platforms where it's not controlled by journalists who don't really know what the issues are. They need to come right here, have the conversation, let people call in, and let's have a real dialogue on the crime in New York City Transit.
Yeah, and Chief Kemper did say some good news today. They're working on technology that would be given to station agents and I think conductors too, where they don't even have to communicate through RCC to get police assistance. So we did discuss that where, you know, when you call RCC and you're trying to find a police officer and you can't find one. So we discussed an overnight plan where, you know, police officers and the RCC and, you know, they would know where the police officers would be overnight at every two or three stations down the line, so that at least, you know, that is worked on. I did talk about Tom's train order maintenance sweeps with Chief Kemper about the cars, going through the cars. He said he's going to look at that, and they're going to redeploy some officers on the night tours. And he did tell me they're getting 300 police officers next month from the academy. So they're going to be putting them in transit. And what else did he tell us? Yeah, then he did mention that they are going to have small meetings with union members, with transit workers, to get concerns and all of that. Now, in terms of the police officers being by the conductor's position and not being at the back of the train, the reason why that is so that, because conductors are getting assaulted, so that's what the NYPD had decided on. But at certain stations, Chief Kemper said, you know, they're going to take a look at that to see how they can work that better. So they're trying. The elected officials,
yes,
and the problem with the laws right now, I understand, I'm not trying to say the Chief Kemper is making excuses, but the way those officers were withdrawn in that room, I mean, you have to look at their faces. They're fed up. And I'm being honest with everyone on the show. They're fed up. And if they're fed up,
well, maybe they was feeling, you got to understand. Maybe they was feeling away because they just had an officer being killed. So, I wouldn't read into that too much.
Of course, yeah. They were mourning that poor officer that got shot yesterday. It was a tragedy. But every time, you know, I asked Chief Kemper questions about EDPs. So the situation with EDPs, they can't just remove them. And, you know, I thought they could, but he told me that they need a clinician there, and it's a whole legal thing, because if the police officer tries to remove an EDP, you know, the officer could be sued and this and that. So a lot of that is playing into what's happening. Now, do I agree with what Chief Kemper told me? I have my own opinions on that. I have my own reservations, but I'm just telling you what was said to me at the meeting. This should give transit workers and the general public an idea that right now, if you're getting in the subway or you're working in the subway, work and ride at your own risk. Because if somebody could be pushed in front of a police officer, and what does that tell you? That person's dead already, right? So it's an all-out crisis. I think the thing that I got from Chief Kemper today was he was very honest. He didn't try to bullshit us. You know, at times, like when I mentioned certain things to him, you know, he got
respectfully, Chief Kemper telling you to go holler at your politicians, he was bullshitting you. Chief Kemper telling you that we are rearresting recidivists, he's bullshitting you, right? That's their job, right? So I don't want to hear, it's the same BS that he says in the media, it's the same finger pointing that they do. Everybody's accountable for what's happening here. If you listen to what he has to say, what are they doing wrong? Tell me one thing Chief Kemper said that they are doing wrong.
Because it sounded like he pointed
to the politicians and said that they was doing. What did NYPD today said that they was doing wrong?
They did admit there were some things that they could do better. They admitted that to me. And one of the things, like the situation at 7th Avenue and 53rd Street, I told them with that cleaner who was having issues, who was afraid to go there, I said that they have to move away from the turnstiles and they have to walk the train cars and walk the platforms, especially overnight, to help, you know, station agents. And they did promise me they're going to follow up on that. They're going to look into this. But I will say one thing, Tramel. It's one thing when you're out there, you know, doing a show, or like me, when I'm out there criticizing people in public, it's one thing. It's another thing when you're on the other side and you're working for an administration that you have to take shit from the elected, shit from everyone. So to, you know, and again, I'm not saying that I agree with everything Chief Kemper said to me, but what I'm saying, and I'm being honest with everyone here, is that you could feel there's frustration going on. There's no plan. And this is what I'm trying to explain to everyone, trying to tell everyone the truth about what we learned at today's meeting. But the fact that the NYPD, you know, is starting now to come around. And I told Chief Kemper and them, if they had met with us a year ago or 2 years ago when we were trying to meet with them, maybe we could have worked things out and things could have been better down the line. But they promised to meet with us. We're going to have an open line of communication. So for that, to answer your question, NYPD has changed on that. You know, and that, to me, says, okay, they're moving in the right direction. But, it, you know, the city, the way the city is going now, I mean, I personally, too, kind of, I would say 50% of what Chief Kemper told me in terms of what's going on with the arrest and people being released, 50% of that I agree with. Now, the other part of it, I asked him, were there enough detectives to prosecute cases? Because if a case goes before the district attorney and things are not properly, you know, a case is not
right,
properly
Tossin, I need you to wrap it up. Let's speed this up a little bit.
So I mean, that's basically it, Tramiel. I wish you were there, Tramiel, because I think you would have also enjoyed this meeting. I think it would have been a little controversial. And it was controversial at times. I mean, we did discuss some very controversial things, and not all of us agreed, you know, to disagree on. There were times when, like I told them, I didn't agree on that, or, you know, Mrs. Byers had a different opinion. So, but, you know, I just think transit workers need to get involved. They need to start getting the, forcing the union to do something, forcing these electives to get off the ass. And with congestion pricing coming now, all the elected officials are going to be exempt from congestion pricing. I don't know if you know that, Tramiel. So, you know, it is what it is. So, anyway, guys, I'm going to be doing a show on this on my channel, Passengers United. I just want to say have a good night, Tramiel. Thank you.
All right, you too.
All right.
I don't buy anything that these guys are saying. Nothing at all. I'm not with the copologist. I'm not with the pointing fingers. I want to know what NYPD is accountable and responsible for. It's as simple as that. I want to know what they're accountable and what they're responsible for. I don't want to hear nothing else. And it probably was a good meeting, right? Probably was some things that was good that was said. But if you're not being accountable for what you should be accountable for, then it's useless to me. Let's get to the next caller. I know this number. Drummond, what's up?
What's up, bro? That call to me, you know, I dig what Pastor United is doing. It's a decent, my brother D'Souza is a good guy. But that was gang. Keep with a politician. Yeah. If you ever had a politician or somebody from the NYPD come to a church or community, I remember I was in my block association and they come to our meetings. They're not, all they doing is appeasing you. And like you said, when he, it was a good, every meeting that a cop, our politician, if you're a assemblyman, your council, your senate, Richie Davey, every meeting that they have with you, they're there to appease you. So when you said have a good, council ain't going to do a damn thing. You're going to still see them folks sleeping in our crew room. You can still, when he says that don't pass, like you said, don't pass the buck, don't kick the can. So if you got to arrest them 100 times, arrest them. Well, the courts letting them out, that's irrelevant. Your job is to lock them up. The DA charge, the DA's mission is to figure out what they're going to present to the judge. The judge's job is to the pass sentence. That's, everybody has a function. So I don't want to hear. That would have been enough for me to say that. Talk to your partner. They keep letting them. So you keep arresting them. That's your job. Your job is to be wary. That's why you're retired at 40 years old. That's why you'll get $15,000 bonus
when you get your pension. That's why you get discounts, the no points on your, they have all these concessions for your mortgages. Society has made a lot of concessions for as they should. They have a very dangerous job for law enforcement, for NYPD, for the DA, for department, for the FBI. He has a job to do, and their job is to have, what different? We had cops that once waved guns. Somebody died. We stopping guns. They said, we stopping guns. Somebody already got shot with a gun. Somebody got murdered with that gun that you, I don't want to hear about the 30 guns you took off the street. I'm worried about that one that a criminal used to hurt someone or possibly hurt one of us or murder someone. So I don't want to hear this second coming of Christ in Kempler. He reminds me of black folks when the policy, you know what Cuomo going to do when he, if he decides to run for office? He going to go to a black church. That's the first thing he going to do. And the black folks are going to say he ain't so bad. I don't wear, Kempler is all he does. If you saw any of his, if you ever watched any of his press conferences, he regurgitates every talking point that Lieber says. He says the same thing but different. So I don't want to hear about these dudes. The cops need to be on these platforms 24 hours a day. If they implemented everything, they ain't about, they can have all the numbers if they want. They got 50,000. It's like the union reps. You can have 30 release union reps in any department. If they're not doing nothing, it don't make a difference. So you can put 20,000 cops there, all the National Guard. If they're not on these platforms and on these trains, it means nothing. And Kempler, it was Kempler. I don't make any distinction from him. He's a politician. Of course, he's gonna go there and say, "Oh, we're gonna." The worst thing anybody could tell you that we're gonna look into that. That's so non-committal. It ain't funny. It's gonna be open.
You know what's so funny was that, you know, people don't understand how politicize all of this is, right? Nobody's going to invite you to a meeting to be combative with you. They're not going to do that. And they are smart enough and they know techniques how, even if I was to come in there combative, they know enough techniques to how to talk people down. These are political positions, right? They are under fire right now. So they willing to meet with any and everyone, especially people who have access to the media and things like that, to just put out some of these fires that they having. And you're 100% right. The only thing they doing is kicking the can down the road, right? I expected nothing less than a good meeting. But for people who really know the issues, for people who know when they being gaslit, for people who know when they having game ran on them, it will be shut down immediately. Like, I don't want to hear nothing about what the DAs are doing, because they've been controlling this whole narrative for a long time. You would think that Alvin Bragg is the DA for all five boroughs, according to their narrative. You have crimes that's happening in Brooklyn. You have crime. Look, think about this. A police officer, and we're going to talk about this in a few, a police officer was killed in Queens, right? In Queens. Did you hear anything about the DA letting this recidivist guy off the hook? You haven't heard one word about the DA in Queens with this guy had 16 arrests, like four, like crazy felonies, and then he was out on the streets to shoot a cop. But if that was Alvin Bragg, you wouldn't have heard the end of it. This is the game that, you know what, NYPD created some of these environments. They are good at pointing at people to lay blame on. Now, none of us come to work to not make it back home. And we are now residing and working and living in a city where if you wear a uniform, you're not being respected. I don't care if it's a McDonald's uniform. I don't care if it's a police officer uniform. You're not being respected in this city. Right, but once again, if this happened in Manhattan, and a police officer was killed in Manhattan, and it came out that these two gentlemen had multiple felonies and all this other stuff, they would have threw D.A. Bragg up under the bus, the train, off the bridge, off the New World Trade Center, Freedom Tower, whatever it's called. They would have threw him off of that or threw him up under something. It happened in Queens. Nothing is being said with the same recidivist situation that we have throughout this whole city. Nothing is being said, but continue, Drummond.
Let me just say, you're 100% right. Let me just say his last point is that the Blue Jackets, if you go to a protest, they always have the blue. I don't care how rowdy the protest is. Them community officers that wear them sky blue jackets, those are the nicest people you ever want to meet. Because they there to quell, to de-escalate, to be your pal, to emphasize with you. And that's what he do. These are Kemper is a pro. You go, he going to do all these empty promises. For instance, why don't they identify those officers, the videos right there, and discipline them officers who's letting folks through the gate? How about that? How about what that his function, he has nothing to do with the DA. He has nothing to do. Keep arresting them. If you got to arrest somebody 30 times and they letting them out, keep arresting them. That's it. I don't want to hear how weary they look or the lack of morale. They have a job. They got guns. They got tasers. They got mace. They got a lot of things at their disposal. We have nothing. We have nothing. So I don't want to hear Kemper is full of it. Kemper is game. He's a con artist. Because nothing has changed since our brother got slashed. Not one thing. It's gotten worse. Because they're not utilizing their resources. Either they inept or they don't care. Yo, I'll talk to you later, bro.
Sounds good. That was Drummond coming with that fiery comments, and then he just hops off the phone. I can't wait for him to do his next live. I know he got a lot to talk about. We got more callers. Let me get through some of this show first, because I was saying during my, you know, when I was speaking with Drummond, that if you wear a uniform, you're not getting no respect in the city. No respect in the city. And I want to show y'all what happened today. Check this out.
A police officer was hurt this morning in another violent incident at the same subway station just before 8 a.m. Police say a 24-year-old woman was going through the turnstile without paying when an officer approached to give her a summons. Police say she became combative. The woman is accused of punching the officer in the face and head, breaking his nose. The officer was taken to the hospital. The woman was taken into custody. Charges against her are now pending. Unreal.
Just think about that. If we're living in a city where police officers are not being respected, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. People could say, I mean, even I have my opinions about NYPD, but guess what? Let's be real here. There are more, I'm going to say good people, because I don't believe in good cops, bad cops. You're either a good person or you're a bad person. I believe that there are more good people in NYPD than there are bad people in NYPD, right? Yes, the handful of instances, or the two handfuls of instances that I had negatively with NYPD in my life, yes, it makes me look at them as a whole, as a evil organization, right? Because what happens is that you have other people, other officers there that see the bad stuff happening, and they don't say anything, right? They don't try to stop the other officer. They don't do anything, right? And these negative experiences that we have in our communities with these police officers, it really penetrates us. It really makes us look at policing as a negative thing. But when you look at these things as a whole, for the most part, you have more good people in NYPD than bad people. Because if it was more bad than good, then guess what? We are all being troubled. But it's just like the cartoons. It's, I mean, the movies. right, with villains. You know, there's a handful of villains and there's a whole bunch of bad people, but those villains make everybody look bad, right? When you talk about, when you hear NYPD say, you know, these recidivists, and it's the same 1,000 recidivists who's committing all these crimes, right? It makes the whole city look bad. So that's what's happening. That's what's happening. When you have a handful or two handfuls or five handfuls of bad cops, it make the whole department look bad, right? The same way they do to our communities. You'll have some bad apples in the community, and they'll be like, that community is bad because it's a few bad apples. But for the most part, the community is filled with good people, right? Any movie you look at, you're going to have bad people, and those handful of bad people make it seem like it's bad for the whole community that looks like them, that represents them, right? And there's nothing different with NYPD. But for a police officer to get punched in the face in uniform, right, what is this city coming to? And with that being said, I want to touch on the police officer who was murdered yesterday, right? Police officer Jonathan Diller. And I want to be clear, nobody comes to work to not make it back home the same way that they came to work, right? When we all go out to work, we all expect to make it back to our families the same way that we left, right? I don't know what type of person he was. It doesn't matter at this point. We're talking about someone who lost their life doing a job, right? Young, just his child is not even 1 year old, married, right? Trying to do the proper thing. And then you go to work, police officers is a danger. No matter what I say about policing, it's a dangerous job. Everybody's not made for that job, right? And it's a job where you definitely may not make it back home to your family in one piece. Right. And then on the other side, what people is not understanding. Yes, this person was a recidivist. This person had multiple felonies. Right. When you get into the mind frame of someone like that, and they've been in jail, they've served time in jail. Right. You hear some people say that they wouldn't wish jail on their worst enemy. You hear people say that they will rather die before going back to jail. And when you going or you encounter someone like that, a police officer encounters someone like that, it becomes a dangerous situation, especially if they have a firearm on them. Because the first thing they thinking, I got all these felonies. If I get caught, I'm going to get 25 years, 20 years just because of my criminal past. And I'm not going back. And it seems as if that was the situation in this case, because the police officer at the time don't know what priors this individual had. They don't know the mindset that these people are in, right? People think about mental health, and when they think about EDPs, they think about the people who's bugging out on the subways, right? They think about the people who's talking to themselves, who's eating out of the garbage, who smell funny, who look homeless. Not every EDP is homeless, and not every homeless person is an EDP, right? There are EDPs out there that function that you won't tell that they're EDP because they're not showing you the symptoms that normally people will identify as being an EDP, right? So there's two sides of the coin. And I have friends that did time in jail that say that they would rather die than go back to prison. And then you got people that go to prison, and when they come out, they have nothing for them. They have no home. Sometimes their family is done with them. They don't have no job, right? They don't. If they have kids, they don't have a means or a way to take care of their kids. We are living in a city now where us as transit workers, right? We cannot survive in the city in which we work. So picture someone that has a crazy criminal background that do want to get their life together, that want to get a job. They can't get a job, or the job that they're getting is not paying enough to take care of their immediate needs right then and there, whether it's clothing, housing, food, family, right? What are they to do, right? Because when we think about the criminal justice system and we think about the correctional system, think about it. It's called corrections. It's supposed to correct you. It's supposed to make you whole for society, right? And I was having this conversation with Drummond earlier today, and the only criminals that society gives up on are people who are sentenced to death. When they sentence you to death, that means that you hold no value in society. You're better off dead. But even if you get 20 years in jail, if you get 25 years in jail, there should be a sense of redemption within that time. What is going on in the prison system that's not making people ready to come back home into society? What is happening behind those bars where criminals are saying, I wouldn't wish jail on my worst enemy? That doesn't seem like a place that when you go there, it's correcting you for society. What are these people seeing? We get it. You do something, your freedom is taken away. But what else is happening behind those bars that traumatizes people for when they come out here? That they feel like if they go down to life of crime and they carry a firearm on them, that they would rather die than go back to jail. Right? And most of the times, the people who's going to encounter them in situations like that are police officers. Are police officers. So when we think about the correctional system and the correctional system failing people to go back out into the free world, and they can't get no jobs, like I said. There's no housing for them. There's no clothing for them. They literally are coming home to whatever they made in jail, which equals out to nothing, and basically told to survive. Right now, a friend of mine, Eddie Gibbs, and I'm going to invite him on the show. He's the first state assemblyman that was incarcerated, that did time in upstate prison, right? And he got a bill out there to give people who is released from prison a $2,500 stipend. Now, it's not a lot, but it's something. It's something. It's something that would stop them from grabbing a gun their first week of being home and saying, I need to go get some money. I need to go rob this person. I need to go stick this person up. I need to go commit this type of crime, right? It's something that will probably make them not think about a life of crime after being in jail, right? Why are there so many recidivists in the system? We cannot just blame it on the DAs, blame it on the judges. What else is happening that's contributing to people being recidivists? There's something else that's happening. And I believe it's the prison industrial complex. That's what I believe that it is. I mean, and this is the thing. Everybody pointing fingers. Nobody is talking about the prison system. Nobody is talking about that. Right? And I feel sorry for our police officers encountering individuals who feel like if they go back to jail, it's the end of them. So they would rather choose your life over theirs. We are in some dangerous times, right? Because every place that we drop the ball is catching up to us right now. Everywhere we drop the ball is catching up to us. And it's not fair to the citizens of this city. It's not fair for the people who work in this city, and it's not fair for the police officers who we rely on to protect us. It's not fair. Because what it looks like is that the frontline workers, no matter if you're a police officer, a transit worker, a correctional officer, we are paying the piper. Not the politicians, not the high ranking officers of whatever organizations we work for, the frontline workers. And we got to start having these honest conversations with our peers, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's someone from another job, another occupation. We must start having these conversations. It's very, very important. Very important. Let me get to the next caller. Like I told you guys, the phone lines are open. 563-999-3714. Call in. Let me know how you feel. Let's get to caller. I know this number two. Celso 6483. What's going on?
Hello. Bro? How you doing? How you doing, sir? I appreciate it, even having me on the show. You know, I agree with you, and I'm glad that you spoke about it because a lot of people don't speak about it. But New York has increased the millionaires by thousands, and no one talks about that. And the budget surplus is in the billions in New York State, and in New York City, the budget surplus is in the billions also. I don't think the everyday worker and the everyday person is getting a fair shake right now. And these neighborhoods, I don't know, I feel like they're purposely being allowed to be broken down, and they're looking the other way in crime and just looking the other way. So for a chief to say, we didn't know this was happening, we didn't know that was happening, it's a joke. It's like the MPA saying they don't know what's happening with us, and that they didn't know that we're being assaulted, they didn't know that we're being attacked. It's for them to say that is a joke. Just like the union to say they didn't know that we're being assaulted, we're being attacked. They know what's going on. They know. And for years they've been saying, oh, it's not as bad as you guys are making it seem. But, you know, it's a plan, just gentrification. I don't know. I don't have proof that it's on purpose. But I know that all these neighborhoods, the rent has skyrocketed across the board. People are wanting to leave New York. And this is just encouraging people to want to leave. And the millionaires are moving in to some of these neighborhoods that they would never have lived in years ago. And that's my main point. We have to learn from the past. And I agree with you that there's a serious drug problem that also that's not being addressed and no one has spoken about. There's a serious drug problem. Fentanyl is really messing people's brains up. And no one's talking about that. And they refuse to talk about it. Nobody's touching it. The politicians won't talk about it. The chiefs of police won't talk about it. They know that they will lose their job if they go into it too deeply. And as far as the EDPs in the system, people are not born EDPs or emotionally disturbed. Emotionally disturbed people are made. You know, as a former special education teacher, I see what happens in the system, in the Bronx teaching the, you know, in special ed. I see what goes on in the schools and how bureaucracy stifles it and they don't want to address it. The breakdown of the family and the foster care system, how it neglects a lot of these people. And these people become later on. You know, they don't have no place to go, no type of background or upbringing. They're allowed to just be broken down and broken as humans. And we just look the other way and act like nothing's happening. Then they end up in the subways, end up in the buses, and they're angry or they're upset at their treatment in life. And then the beds in New York State, there's about 3,000 less beds in New York State, mental health beds, that where people could be treated. they just keep reducing them and putting the money in other places. And they arrest them. They put them in a psychiatric institution. The psychiatric institutions don't even have space for the amount of people that are suffering from psychiatric episodes. But a person's psychological state is over time. It's not something that, like, they're born with. That's why I want people to understand. It's something that gets developed over many years of neglect and not being addressed. So by the time they get to that stage, they've been neglected for many years. That's my main point, that we just have to look at the big system and the biggest system in New York and the transit system in New York. And I know they don't want us to speak about it, and a lot of people get upset. And I'm glad I didn't meet with that commissioner. Right, Tramiel? What do you think you would have said to him, sitting with him with the brass and the gaslighting people with the white shirt? You know, it's like sitting down with Davey or Lieber and saying, oh, we had no idea what was happening. Thank you for letting me know. When they got reports upon reports and documents upon documents, and that's what stood out in the press conference when Richard Davis had the press conference, was that he asked every single union officer, do you have reports of assaults? And they all raised their hand and said, yeah, we got reports of assaults. But when were the members told about these assaults? That's my issue. And I know people don't want to hear the truth, but that's the truth and the reality we live in right now. And I'm sorry that a police officer had to be killed and transit workers have to be getting slashed or destroyed because of the result of the whole system being broken down and people being broken down as humans. That's my take on it, and those are the consequences when we don't invest in the right things in the system. We're not investing in the right things. We're not investing after school programs. We're not investing in programs for the youth, jobs for the youth. We're not investing in ways to keep people out of prison. It will be cheaper to keep somebody out of prison than keep somebody in prison. Prison costs from $65,000 to $150,000, depending on how restrictive of an environment it is. And federal prison, I believe, is more expensive. So when they tell you, they speak to us as if we don't know any better, and we can't look up stuff, and we can't look up stuff in Google. We know about that there's certain laws that they can also commit people. I'm not saying you have to commit them, but if a person's a danger to himself or to others, we know that New York State law, they could commit the person to a psychiatric institution. But there's no beds. People are just thinking about the profit and the amount of money that it costs to house somebody in a psychiatric institution. It's very expensive, and that's what people are thinking about. Not they're not thinking about the human being and taking care of the problem. They're worried about how much money they can make off the system. Thank you for your time, and that's my main point. Thank you, Tramiel.
Keep speaking. Thanks for calling in, bro.
And don't be scared. Don't be scared to speak the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of important people that did it before us, and we're going to continue that. All right? Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
All right. You too. So, yeah, man, all of these points are valid. Like, how can you want to fix the mental health issue in New York when there's not enough beds for them, right? I mean, it makes no sense. Like, you could really debunk any type of alleged care that they say that they have for the city just through their actions. Stop listening to people's words and listen to their actions. Action speaks louder than words. Let's stop listening to what they're telling us and let's pay attention to what they're actually doing, right? Let's look at to the laws that they're actually getting behind. Let's ask these real questions that's happening, right? Because it really bothers me to have a police officer killed. It shows that there's something going on here, right? There's something going on here. And people are picking and choosing who to hold accountable. People are picking and choosing who to point fingers at, right? Nobody's thinking independently, right? And it's too much tribalism the way that people think. Like, once they see the crowd getting on one person, then everybody want to jump on that one person, right? Once again, and I want to be clear on this. I don't know Alvin Bragg. I never met him, never spoke to him, nothing, right? But the way that these people talk about that man, you would think that he is the DA for Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Manhattan. You would think that he's the DA for the whole city. And I guarantee you, if that cop was murdered in Manhattan and these perpetrators, criminals, records was released, Alvin Bragg would have been hung by now. Why isn't the NYPD talking about the Queens DA? Why aren't these Alvin Bragg haters talking about the Queens DA? Why isn't these politicians talking about the Queens DA? We have a DA problem in New York City. It's not only Alvin Bragg, and that's what I was trying to tell y'all about Darcelle Clark. She is a problem also. But yes, there is multiple layers of problems happening in our city. Multiple layers. Everybody is accountable. NYPD, the citizens, the politicians, the judges, the media is accountable too. Everybody's accountable here. And we must stop pointing fingers and take care of our business. Like they say now, everybody got to stand on their business. Stop worrying about what everybody else's business is and stand on yours. That's how it should work. Now, what I need for you guys to do, start spreading the word about this platform. If you're watching right now, please hit the like button. If you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, hit the like button. Throw this in your stories. Throw this in the group. Share it amongst your friends. Text out the show. We got to start having these unfiltered conversations. And it's not made for us to battle each other and piss on each other and you're right, this person right, you're wrong. And it's about having discussions. It's about us having conversations. It's about us hearing each other out. We listen, but we don't hear. Everybody want to talk over each other. People want to get the final word. That's why I allow my guests to get the final word. Don't matter to me because somebody agree with them. I may not agree, right? But it's about hearing each other out. Let's start hearing each other out. Let's start listening to one another, learning how to agree to disagree. Just because someone does not agree with you, does it make them your enemy? Let's start finding middle ground, because if we don't start finding middle ground, New York City is going to be a thing of the past. It's going to be a thing of the past. So once again, please make sure to RSVP for this rally. We are not safe riding the MTA. It's an assault and safety rally, May 1st, 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. It's for everyone. For everyone, come down and let's support one another. Let's support one another. The link is in the bio. RSVP, just let me know that you're coming, and let's start supporting one another. Also, all my people on YouTube, if you have not joined or if you're watching this video and you have not subscribed, it costs you nothing to subscribe to the channel. It's free, right? No matter what channel that you're watching me on, what platform you're watching me on, if you're not following me, please hit the follow button. YouTube, hit the subscribe button. If you want to donate to the platform, no matter which platform, if you want to donate to Progressive Action, no matter which platform you on, you could donate via Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the join button. It's only 99 cents a month. Just 99 cents a month to support the channel. I'll catch you guys later as soon as some more news drop. Peace. And RP again to the officer who lost his life. Our prayers for entire NYPD family and the young man family. You know, our thoughts are with you guys, and we're sending our condolences. Peace.